Luke chapter 22 is what we're going to be looking at today. July 18th, 1965, Colonel Jeremiah Denton was leading a squadron in a bombing raid over North Vietnam. His plane was hit by enemy fire and black smoke started streaming from the engines. Denton bailed out and parachuted right into the waiting hands of the enemy. He was imprisoned in several camps for 7 long years. During that time, they tortured him. They beat him. They starved him. All just to get some information. Their greatest desire was to get him to say something against his country, to somehow get him to deny the United States of America. You and I also have an enemy. His name is the devil. He is turning up the pressure every day to get us to deny our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In our study of Luke last week, we witnessed Jesus being arrested and the disciples being scattered. Peter is now following at a distance, and then he plunges into the darkest hour of his life. He promised his Lord unswerving loyalty, yet that same night he denied him 3 times. Listen to the story in Luke 22, starting at verse 54. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard, he sat down together. Peter sat among them, and a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're saying." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Father, we come to you now and pray that as we look at Peter's denial, we would not look at him and blame him. We would look at him and examine our own life to see how we may be denying you. Oh God, forgive us, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like for you to notice, first of all, the path of denial that Peter was on. Someone once said that spiritual ruin is rarely a blowout. It is rather a slow leak. On the pathway to Peter's denials, we see several factors that could have contributed to his failure. I think, first of all, Peter was confident when he should have been careful. Remember in the upper room where Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples around the table? They were debating about who was going to be the best in the kingdom. Jesus said to Peter in Luke 22, verse 31, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But you know what Peter said back to Jesus? "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny 3 times that you know me." The Gospel of Mark records another thing that Peter said. "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." The sifting of Peter began during that time. You know, the Bible says that all of us need to be careful. 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." The Message paraphrase says, "Don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. Self-confidence leads to a fall. Be careful. Take heed. Always run a little scared of your own fallibility. Always be willing to say when others fall, not, I would never do that. Say something like, thereby the grace of God, there go I. When the British ship Titanic steamed out of Southampton bound for New York on April 10th, 1912, it was the largest and most sumptuous luxury liner that had ever sailed. It was a monument to the promise of technology and the Victorian elegance. Magnificently appointed with oriental carpets and crystal chandeliers, it was thought to be unsinkable. Confidence was so high that the owners and the builders rejected plans to equip it with 64 lifeboats. They only had enough lifeboats to accommodate half of the people aboard. In one of history's great ironies, the Titanic sank on its maiden voyage after colliding with an iceberg off the banks of Newfoundland. More than 1,500 people died in the accident. At the launching of the Titanic on May 31st, 1911, an employee of the White Star Line said, "Not even God could sink this ship." Overconfidence can get us in trouble. And I think Peter was thinking, hey, the rest of these disciples may fail you, Lord, but I will never fail you. We need to look carefully. And I think that's set Peter up because he thought he was exempt from falling. The second thing that we see about Peter, he was overconfident when he should have been careful, but he was also sleeping when he should have been praying. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus asked them to stay awake and pray with him as he went there and commune with God. Peter didn't do anything morally evil. He just simply fell asleep. And I think that Peter is not alone. Many of God's people, many members of Bible preaching churches are maybe not guilty of immorality or crime or some other dark sin. They simply are falling asleep. They're not awake to the passion of the Lord, not awake to serving the Lord or the lost that are perishing. We are simply sleeping when he should have been praying. Third step in Peter's denial, he was resisting when he should have been submitting. Remember last week when we talked about the arrest of the Lord Jesus? Peter had a sword and he was defending the Lord from the people that were there to arrest him, and he lashed out with the sword, and Jesus simply said, he had to clean up the mess, of course, you know, he put the ear back on, and he told Peter, put up your sword, flesh and blood. No, we can't do it this way. He was resisting the Lord's will. I think we can get that way too. We need to remember those seven words that Jesus said to his disciples, not my will, but yours be done. Sometimes we want to make things happen, and we get out in front of the Lord, and we're not willing to wait on him. We see that can set us up for a failure. Peter had courage. He had boldness, but he wasn't doing things the way the Lord wanted them to. I see another step on the path of denial. Peter followed at a distance. Luke 22:54, having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. I like the way the King James puts it. Peter followed afar off. He lagged behind. He was a follower, but distance between him and the Lord began to grow when his evidence there at Jesus' arrest. I think sometimes we're the same way, like Peter. We would say, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but I'm not telling you how close I'm following. Sometimes we miss church for absolutely no reason at all, just because of our own laziness. We grow a little more distant. We skip our Bible study and we skip our time in prayer and we get a little further away from the Lord. And before we know it, Jesus is over there and we're way over here. Peter, that will set you up for a failure. when you begin to allow distance to get between you and the Lord. Peter also associated with the enemy. Notice in verse 55, "Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them." Among who? Well, I believe this was after Jesus was delivered to those that were going to try him, the servants, the guards, perhaps even the ones that led Jesus away. He warmed himself at their fire. Perhaps he forgot Psalm 1:1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Who do you hang around with? Who do you choose to make your closest companions? Those who take the Lord's name in vain? Those that don't have a heart for God? Now, we need to be in the world. We need to be a witness to the world. But where do we choose to sit down and warm ourselves around the warm fire of Christian fellowship or those that don't even know the Lord? Peter began his path of denial by sitting down at this fire. One day a farmer grabbed a shotgun to go out and shoot a flock of pesky crows. Unfortunately, he didn't see his pet parrot that had joined the crows, and after firing a few shots, he walked over to the fallen birds and was surprised to find his green parrot badly ruffled with a broken wing. When the farmer's children saw the injured bird, they asked, "Dad, what happened?" The farmer simply replied, "Bad company." Scripture often warns us to avoid harmful influences. Regardless of how old we are, how strong we are in the Lord, over time, unwise influences will negatively affect our walk with the Lord. Satan is determined to pull us into sin and wreck our lives, and often he uses these wrong influences to affect us. He sat down and warmed himself at the enemy's fire. The path of denial was kind of like a slow leak leading to Peter's denial. Let's now look at the particulars of the denial. We see Peter had three different times when he denied that he knew the Lord. The first one was in Luke 22, verses 55 to 57. "Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them, and a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, 'This man was also with him.' But he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I don't know him.'" Now, nervous Peter was probably sitting by the fire and didn't know what he was going to do next. He thought he would probably just kind of be incognito, try to blend among them to maybe see what's going to happen with Jesus. And then he was identified. They saw him. As a matter of fact, as he got closer to the fire, the light of the fire illuminated his face, and a servant girl, a slave girl, actually what it was, had seen him before with Jesus. And says, I know you. You're one of those guys that were with Jesus." And what did Peter say? "Yes, I am. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." "No, I don't know the man." Wow. Wow. He is identified. It was Peter who was the first to say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He was the first to identify Jesus as the Messiah. Now, he says, "I don't even know him." Second denial is in verse 58. "After a little while, another saw him," and other gospel accounts say that this was another woman that saw him. "You're one of them." But see, Peter said, "Man, I am not. I am not." Second denial. The third denial is in verse 59 and 60. "Then after about an hour had passed, Peter confidently affirmed, saying, 'Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are saying.'" The third denial. Now, Peter was identified by his Galilean accent. Now, I don't know what a Galilean accent is, but I know that this church is filled with various kinds of accents. I can tell when some snowbirds come down from the northeast to Boston, Massachusetts, and Connecticut area. I could kind of identify, you're not from Indiana, are you? No. And then I can identify those that are in the deep south. Boy, you have such a sugary, sweet accent. It's good just to hear you talk, you know. And then there's people from Minnesota. Did I say that right? I can tell when they're or Wisconsin. And sometimes we got a resident Texan here. I can tell the Texas accents. And then we have some people from foreign countries. We've got somebody from Scotland here. We've got some people from Australia here. You know, wherever you're from, they have an accent, and you can tell it. I remember growing up in Indiana, and I did not know we had an accent until I went somewhere else, and they told me, where are you from? I said, well, I'm a Hoosier. I'm from Indiana. We don't have accents. I guess we do. We do. Anyway, Galileans have a certain accent, and this person identified that. And Peter says, I do not know him. And other passages of Scripture, as a matter of fact, in the Gospel of Mark, but he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by Peter, surely you're one of them, for you're a Galilean, and your speech shows it. And then he began to curse and swear. His old fisherman language came back, and he denied the Lord. Before we blame Peter, let's ask ourselves, how do we today deny our Lord? I think we deny the Lord when we act like the world. When we show that we are not sensitive to the sinful behavior of the world, we have the world's philosophies, we take the world's places they go and character that they live, and we're not careful with acting like the world. I think we can also deny our Lord when we're not displaying his character, Christ-likeness. If you want to know what Christ-likeness is, read the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. When we don't display the way Jesus lived in our life. Sometimes you're listening to Christians, you say, how in the world can they be Christians when they are not acting like Jesus? We can deny him by living these lies. And I think we can deny him one other way, in just not speaking up for him, by our silence. God will give you opportunities to speak a word for the Lord. I think that's a wonderful prayer to start the day with. Lord, give me an opportunity to say a word for you. It doesn't have to be the Romans Road or the plan of salvation, but just speak a word for Jesus. Maybe a testimony of what God has done in your life, or just a way to glorify your Savior. And God will open up that opportunity. You don't have to browbeat someone or buttonhole them. You can just, where the opportunity is open, you can speak a word for him. Well, we followed Peter on the path of denial and looked at the particulars of the denial. And now I want for us to look at this passage and see the prescriptions for denial. In other words, how to come back. I think it all started in Luke 22:60 with the crowing of the rooster. Peter said, man, I do not know what you're saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. I recorded that rooster in St. Petersburg at a Circle K gas station. I was sitting up there, and this rooster comes right up there. I was sitting outside, and he started doing this. I said, this is cool. So I recorded it. Wouldn't that wake you up, though? Some of you did. It actually did wake you up right now. You know, God has a way of sending a rooster in our life. The rooster might take the form of a preacher. It might be reminding you of what Jesus said. It might be the form of a friend that lovingly says, "Brother, you're not doing right. You need to get some things straight in life." That rooster crowing was the beginning of Peter's turning around. And I hope that if you are on the path of drifting away from Jesus, that God will send his rooster to crow and to wake you up from your spiritual sleep. And that was the beginning. This shocks Peter. And I think Peter says within himself, "Oh no, Jesus, what have I done?" Second thing is the look of Christ. Look at verse 61. "As the rooster crowed, and then the Lord turned and looked at Peter." I wonder what kind of look that was. Peter was there. Jesus knew where he was. The rooster crowed, and Jesus was being on trial, and he turned and he looked across the courtyard and he saw Peter. Those eyes melted his child of God. Love and compassion were in those eyes, but also pain and disappointment. But I believe there was the offer of grace and forgiveness when the eyes looked at Peter. Perhaps the Lord is looking at you right now. "Why, son, are you doing this? Why are you drifting? Why are you so far from me? Why have you done that sinful thing?" There's a third step, and I think that's the bitter weeping. As we look in verse 62, right after Jesus looked at him, it says in verse 62, "Peter went out and wept bitterly." This is where Peter begins his turn that Jesus told him would happen after his denial. When confronted with our failure to our Lord, does it affect us to the point that we're having bitter tears? "I failed my Lord." The path to fellowship with Christ, returning with Christ, begins with brokenness because of our sin. But I think that Jesus wasn't done with Peter. Even after the resurrection, there is a visit that Christ pays to the erring disciple in Luke 24, verse 34, saying, "The Lord is risen from the dead and has appeared to Simon." We know about the resurrection appearances with the women at the tomb, and then the others began the 500. But there was one time Jesus went to Peter all by himself. "Peter, look at me. I'm alive. I'm alive." That confirmed Peter's faith and got him going again. But that wasn't the end of Peter's return. There is a recommission that Jesus gave to Peter in John chapter 21. Remember the story when the disciples were fishing and they caught fish and they brought him to shore, and Jesus was already on the shore and he already had some fish on the coals and he was preparing them. And he said, come and dine. And then Jesus had a private interview with Peter. And he asked him a question three times. I wonder why three times. Three denials. Three times Jesus said, "Do you love me, Peter?" "Yes, Lord, I do." "Do you love me, Peter?" "Yes, I do, Lord." "Do you really love me, Peter?" "Oh, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And you know what Jesus said after that? "Okay. Feed my sheep. Get back into service for me." Turn the page to Acts chapter 1. Where's Peter? He's in the middle. He's the leader of that early church. He's the one that went to prison. He's the one that was beaten. He was the one that was crucified upside down. All of that because Jesus restored Peter to active service for the Lord. Peter's sinful failure was put on display in the Word of God. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't do that with you? Writing a book about your sins and putting it out there in public for millions and billions of people down through the years to see your failure. But just as deep was Peter's failure, also as deep as his return back to the Lord. Are you denying the Lord today by not speaking up for him? Not standing up for him, not showing up for him, and afraid to live for him. Today we're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper. And last week we talked about Judas. We talked about what Jesus said. The hand of my betrayer is on the table. You know what that table was? That was the communion table. But also with that, the hand of my denier was on the table. And Peter did deny the Lord. All of us are sinners. But Jesus provided the way that we can be restored. He even gave Judas the opportunity to get forgiveness and come and gave him grace at the last minute until he confirmed his dark heart away from the Lord. But he gives us all. He prayed for Peter that he would be restored, and Peter was.